So, Sergei, this is Sabrina George for New Comedy Radio interviewing Sergei. Can you say your name properly? Because I'm not saying it properly.
Properly, it is Pashnin.
Pashnin. Pashnin.
Somehow it's written Pashnin, but I'm making jokes about this.
Incorrect pronunciation. Now, both of us are working at the Shetland Island Folk Festival, and I've been trying to find some folk people who will who could talk about the sort of funny side of life, but they're very serious and they don't really talk about the funny side of being folk musicians. I've been emceeing a number of gigs. How have you found the folk festival?
It is very interesting and very different to what I saw before and even after, as soon as I'm second time here. So I could say I saw before and after that first my visit here. So it is absolutely different folk festival or music festival, doesn't matter how we call it. Absolutely interesting, unique approach, unique way of making festival.
It is. It's very designed by the locals for an international audience with international artists, but it's still got a very local feel to it. Very friendly, everybody knows each other.
Yeah, what I noticed this visit, that on the ferry already was people who was going toward to festival as a guests. Last time it was just musicians, and it was 2 years ago, it was more local than now.
Oh, really?
Believe me, I met people even 2 days ago when after concert in the Bray, we were driving, going towards Lyric in a bus, and one gentleman was from Glasgow who was just used the opportunity to join us in the bus just to ride to Lyric, and he's a guest who enjoyed the folk music, and especially of course because it's a lucky number, the big number of people from Celtic connections, so yeah. They're attracting most of the, of course, of the viewers and listeners.
Yes, because I've got, I think there's three Germans, Uli, Matthias and Stefan, who've been coming for 12 years from Hamburg, or near Hamburg or something. I was very impressed. They've just come as, you know, audience members. They love it so much. It's quite unique. It's quite unique to go out shopping around the corner and find you've just had all the people in the grocery shop as your audience. I have to say, that's in London very much. Tell me a bit about yourself, Han, because I don't really know much about you. I've seen you performing. How did you get into the first folk festival here? You were with a band.
There's a band called the Kremlinaires. Very funny band.
Spelled with a K.
Yes.
The criminals with a K.
No. Kremlinaires.
Oh, Kremlinaires.
Kremlinaires. It's about Kremlin in Moscow. So, and we are like representatives of the Soviet Communist Party before Perestroika, so we're still trying to to find the people who will sympathize our communistic orientation ideas. It is great fun, you know, just we of course everyone having great time when they listening to this, all the I could remind you a couple of the lines, let me remember the so you came through these doors tonight, downtrodden pawns of the capitalism, the oppressed proletariat of a corrupt and bourgeois neo-fascist state, but you will live here tonight, reborn, renewed heroes of the revolutionary struggle, disciples of Lenin. That's what the texts in this show. It's very funny, of course, sound now. In the,
this but then it was actually real.
It was real, but
scarily enough.
We just, that's what the Kremlinaire is doing, you know, but everyone understands we play in full, but it's quite funny, and everyone very appreciates us.
So how did the Kremlinaires get formed?
Oh, it was probably, not probably, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we started recording. An idea came quite long time ago, in the just private conversations.
Who's we?
Chris Haig.
Right. Is it Russian?
He's no. Or they're all British, part of me.
Except for you.
Guitar player.
You were the only Russian.
No, guitar player as well, but he's in the UK already for 15 years.
Okay.
I'm for 10 years. So he's more British than me. So, and when we talk about some new programs with like a Russian singing, whatever, in Russian language, but that's what my proposition was, I remember, to Chris, and he transformed it to different idea and lucky idea, because he was just absolutely right. He went with idea about not just Russian singing band on a British stage to popularize it, but to popularize the Russian folklore or something like this. No, he went with Russian folklore or some song designed as Western songs with Russian folklore as ornamentation or for those musical ideas, which actually most of the songs, by the way, based on American musicals stuff, sometime with new lyrics for this to make a fun about all these communist ideas.
Okay.
Have you heard the revolution is held in the fold all across Russia? Held in the bosses in their offices are fearing their fate. The red flags flying on the factory gates. The soldiers on the parade, they are typing their feet, and Ivan is jiving to the Bolshevik beat. That's what I mean. Sort of.
So it was sung in English.
In English, some song just in respect of tastes of the audience be making in Russian.
Mm.
Not many, like a Kalinka, traditional Russian song, and some tunes played taken just from folk and produced by this first-class musicians, of which Kremenets are. They are very high.
So standard. Are they all Russian? Are they steeped in the Russian tradition, or is it only the two of you and the others are...
No.
Is it amalgamation of the two different
by nationality, by nationality, we are two Russians, but the style of Kremenets is folk mixed with jazz.
Okay.
With a jazz based on jazz tradition from 40s, 50s.
Okay.
So this is Louis Jordan.
Yeah.
That's a style which is actually presented.
So you got together as musicians fast and then transformed that with this focus on the Russian absurdities of past political activities and brought that into
fantastic what you said. It's absolutely.
I'm a genius, aren't I?
I know. I noticed it on yesterday. That British Legion concert. It was great. You just holding the.
That was quite hard work. 5.5 hours.
I didn't notice. It's hard for you because you're so.
Your wife did.
Handled.
She was falling asleep.
Maybe
on
you
the table,
your butt, but oh.
It was a long time. A long time to pick up, and I was just the filler between the bands. So, when you were in Russia, were you a musician then?
All my life.
You were?
Yes,
all as my a life. Solo or a part of
no,
bands?
I've been solo, part of bands. It's the same everywhere, you know. It's a part of bands, mostly, because it's a little bit hard in Russia to separate yourself from the band you belong to.
Yeah.
I like the way of British people making music. They are more tolerant people.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. They are more tolerant people because if I will, for example, play with a band and at the same time I will exercise or experience or experiment, at least, you know, not be involved completely, but at least experiment with some recording with some other groups, that I will definitely
be thrown out.
Considered as a traitor, you know, just
right.
So they will fight me, or they will just remove me because it's they will suspect that I'm sharing ideas which is growing in that band, and I brought it to someone else. So, as I know, I don't know, maybe I'm too superstitious about this, but that's normally what's happened around.
Because that's been the shows themselves have been fantastic, you know, these big shows with the big bands, but I think for me, here at the festival, what's been extraordinary is coming to what's called the Ellsborough Centre, which is where everybody comes afterwards, and watching American with an Irish, with a Russian, a Slovakian, an Australian, all jamming together. It's extraordinary. And you're just sitting there, you literally feel that there is no language barrier. They are just doing music, and they're all, whether they're a star or they're relatively new into the folk scene, they're just messing together for hours. I mean, going on till 5 in the morning. I can't.
Yes, indeed, that's true. That's a feature of this festival, by the way. That's the club life.
It's after, a huge after. Jam session.
Indeed, that's what I like as well. You know, very much. Sometime, by the way, 2 years ago, I had an experience because when I came, I was very sorry that I can't join the people who played Celtic music even on the boat when we were traveled from
on the ferry, which is
yes,
11 from and a half, 12 hours. Yes, ferry ride
from Aberdeen to Limerick. 2 years ago, I was worried and enjoyed the show, the session, jam session on the boat, and I was so envy. About I couldn't able to join because I didn't know the melodies, and I didn't waste my time those 2 years. I spent quite a lot of my time to prepare some tunes to be capable to join the jam session. I mean, most popular tunes, of course, which people, I did ask some people, what can I learn and to listen to be able to join any team who having the fun and the pleasure to do so. And I learned those tunes. And when we start our journey from Aberdeen, that fantastic group started session called Kushti. And I realized, no chance.
All that preparation wasn't enough.
because they are too good and they are already two steps ahead. You know, I just played. I did this. That.
What instrument were you playing?
An accordion.
Right.
And they played the seven or eight of those, and some of those not Kushti, but they know each other through the Celtic connection. That Edinburgh, the Glasgow big festival of Celtic music, which held place annually for 3 weeks, something like this. And I remember because 2 years ago, somehow the musician was playing more acceptable for me tempos, blah, blah, blah. For 2 weeks, musician moved up these abilities to make this kind of music, and so the level is higher. 2 years I could recognize situation even on the board, and believe me, and with the saliva on my lips, you know, I was gathering around in the club, you know, just enjoying it. And I know what to achieve till next time, if I will lucky in a few years.
You haven't joined in any of the jam sessions at all?
No.
That's so sweet.
No, this is a pleasure. This is a, you know, I know what's the use? I've got perfect pitch to keep playing chords, for example. But I'd rather will enjoy to learn the style, you know. Otherwise, I will be on my own to catch up with
just
the chord.
Just trying to keep so, up.
And believe me, I can do it. Yes, if someone will ask me, can you join us with playing chords now for this session or whatever? So I will do it with pleasure. But because a lot of musicians, they don't need my voice, you know. Just the pleasure for me just to listen to it. That's very valuable. It's what I so precious. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I like, and I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not very much sorry, but unfortunately, I did, the life not the same, you know, the music not the same, they just move on, or same in the musician, just move on with a level of playing. The music,
the extraordinary,
fantastic musicians.
Yeah. So going back a bit, how did you get into music in the first place? Was your family very musical?
My father is a former peasant who in the 30s moved from his village in the South Urals mountains between Siberia and the European part of Russia, or even between Asia and Europe, actually. So he moved to the big industrial town called Chelyabinsk.
Right.
And he became industrial worker, you know, just a working class man. But all my life I was listening to this singing of what I'm happy about now. That time I just hated it, you know, as any child, that, you know, this is the children. But it was too boring, like, for me when I was, it was my environment, but I wasn't appreciated. Now I just know what does it mean to me, you know. And even sometime for fun, not for fun, even one song of my CD, I was trying to sing with as close color of voices, because those men in our house, who was guests in our house sometimes on Sunday for drinking time, you know, Russian people could on Sunday celebrate any meeting, you know, just with a vodka, whatever, you know, just at lunchtime. And I remember their voices. I heard similar voices. They never were called Cossacks, because it just was poor peasants. What my father came from background, you know. But as soon as all the people in Russia before revolution or whatever was respect the Cossacks as a class, because they were like aristocracy. Peasants aristocracy, or rural aristocracy, I would say. They were rich, they were given lands for the service to the Tsar, I mean, for the military service.
So they were very military-based, weren't they?
They are like, you know, when empire was advanced all the time, after that advantage, I mean, after that movement, all right, so new border. How to keep that border?
There's a bunch of Cossacks.
Land was given to Cossacks to live.
Because they're the tough guys and they will defend
it. They're similar guys, but they was appreciated to Tsar for giving him huge number of acres of air, the soil, to work on it. Mm. And they were very happy, and they were, you know, when it was traditional, you know, they were very proud to be called. The Cossacks is nothing. I'm not. But what I'm trying to say, and the people was all the time reach that level, even at least, or copy something from their life, because they were more advanced financially,
sophisticated.
More sophisticated. I mean, yes, they just rich people, you know, just on the soil. I'm trying to say, I heard Don's Cossack choir singing, and I catch up, and they remind me that's the same sound what I heard from my father and friends.
Just sitting around drinking.
They sang the same songs, sad songs about life, folk songs, and that sound, I remember it was so nostalgic to me, and I realized this is what probably I have to carry, you know. I'm not very much yet involved in that particular sound, because the music is rich for me. I've been playing jazz a lot. I've been playing different pop a lot, pops, different kind of music during my life, but. it is so precious now. I'm just getting all
something is calling you back to it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
So you were surrounded by all this tradition of,
yes,
of music playing and
singing. As well, what a joke sometimes when people asking me about, oh, I'm talking about this, I realize that probably because of that singing was with no accompaniment, a cappella mostly. My father wanted me to play one day an accordion, because accordion was most respectable instrument in my mobile. He was fighting Second World War. He finished the war in Prague, you know, decorated many times, you know, as a good soldier, not officer, just soldier level, but he was honest soldier. So, and what I'm trying to say is, he just insists me to practice and to learn, and I went to music school for many years, six probably years, and I went to music college with accordion as well, and this is it. And actually, music school, it is not like British education, it is not schools within curriculum lessons, you know, like sometimes pupils taken from lessons, from music lessons, and then and like missing history or geography, whatever. This is, if I came from morning shift in the schools, my time in Russia was, in Soviet time, like two shifts. So till 2 o'clock, from 8 till 2, and from 2 till 8, full. So it's hard, you know, that like a big house, non-stop big house. 2 o'clock, one shift leaving, another shift coming. It's in the school again, filled up with the pupils. And if I came home at 2 o'clock, so I'm taking another bag, or if I've got time, I have to practice at least a little bit and go to music school, which taking time, it is not right. I'd rather say British way is more reliable and more tolerant to, how to say, the good for pupils, for children, because I wasted my time on my way to school, to second school and back. It is quite time, you know, just definitely 1 hour and a half probably. And it, as soon as just a special instrument is accordion, it's twice a week, not once, as in England, for example, even during the school time. It means I lost already 3 hours for the journey into the, if it is music literature subject, some of those days, or orchestra of folk musical instruments, I'm missing even more. And I remember, I even spoke about this in Russia a few years ago, when I was in the country at that time, about try to move some minds, but actually it's
what we know. We're not changing it.
It's hard. It's a routine is still very much the same.
It's more militaristic,
isn't it? And I don't know. No. What concern in school politics? You know, just I prefer this British way. For example, if I wasn't very much sporty boy. I don't know why. Maybe I could, but I waste my time in music school, the train waiting, and go back and sitting in orchestras. You know, it's interesting, yes, but I'd rather play football as well, as much as I played.
Use the time for something else more interesting.
Yes, more interesting for the boy, you know, to be more active. Even what is actually in British schools, you know, after school sport activities. That's what I like. You know, this is very man's politics. You know, by man, just to be strong, you know, we have to.
Well, we've got some wimpy boys. A bit hopeless. So what time? When did you finish your musical education then?
I probably didn't yet.
No, but like in a college sense, in a formal sense.
So after college, I went to service to army.
But so how old would you be in that?
Before I fall in love with a, not with lady yet, with the drums.
Right.
I start to play percussion instruments. Okay. I fall in love with jazz.
Okay.
Is that from
hearing it on the radio?
What do you mean?
How did you find out about jazz?
Because
you can't have had that many.
Because when I was
American
in a college, music college, when I was in music college, we were contacting the different department. We had wind instrument department, piano department, and some boys and girls was trying to play. You know, I was in the folk department with my accordion. Folk, it's called Russian musical folk instrument department, some sort of this. What's happened? Of course, we communicate, we exchange information a lot, you know. But it will be good, thanks for good question. I'll give a very quick, just a way, the step aside. Can I?
Mm-hmm.
Just to describe,
what you like,
to describe what how interesting it is. Because recently, about a few years ago, there was Jim Chapin on a tour from America to England, to Great Britain. I'm not sure if he was in Scotland, so probably he was. He was actually teacher of all Russian drummers. But I was already prepared as a musician mentally, you know, classically and folk, in a folk way. So, because folk education was in Russia a little bit classical, you know, just not clear folk, you know. They wasn't, everything was throughout the classical approach, very good culture, you know, very much classical. So it's about 50% of our programs was classically, the classical stuff. So, when Jim Chapin came to England, I realized this is actually the person I dreamed to meet all my life, because we learned how to play drums with his book. With his book, American book, printed, reprinted many times, copied many times. Not in Chelyabinsk, because Chelyabinsk hasn't copy machine at that time. Maybe some institute, secret, military, whatever. But the ordinary people couldn't. So we were buying all the literature like that from Moscow guys who was more, how to say, who had access to the
original
trips abroad and to buy something, to exchange some jazz festivals or even whatever. So, and Jim Chapin, so I went for his master class in Reading, I remember. And I was lucky, someone clicked by that camera, you know, and a few weeks later I found my picture in a rhythm magazine. Jim Chapin making his clinics on the drums, and I'm just on the background. It was great honor for me. So I bought a couple of those, the music, the magazines, and I sent it to Russia, to one friend of mine with whom we were studying music at the same college. So I didn't went for education for drums in the college that time, but I was graduated as a folk musician. But so the point is, I sent it to my friend who was drummer, but not jazz education at that time was available yet. So, and every one of us learned how to play jazz and on drums throughout that, or from that book of Jim Chapin. So I sent it to him, and then I called him and said, Valera, I sent it to you a book. Oh, no, the magazine with a Jim Chapin picture, and I'm with him. And he straight away asked me, Serge, tell me, is he, I don't know how to say politically correct, but he asked me, is he white or black? Is it enough for me to describe the lack of information?
We
know nothing. I mean, so
first,
it's happened now after many years. You know, just many years after Pilsen, he asked me, is he black or white?
Yeah.
I said yes, he's white, but you know, this is we know nothing. Yeah. That's what you said. You're absolutely right. Yeah. The lack of information was completely
how it filtered through. You just eventually got the essential music that you knew nothing about.
Sometimes. sometime, you know. But some of guys was lucky. If for example, Duke Ellington came to Soviet Union something like 1971 or 72, I don't not sure exactly. Some of guys from Urals was flying to St. Petersburg or Moscow or Rostov-na-Don towns where tour was arranged for that band to listen to it. And the same musician made it possible for them to fly for Illinois University jazz band as well. Just 1,000 kilometers they just take a plane, flying, staying with the friends, whatever. And this is what how was it. And after that, I'm just answering your question about how about education. And after, when I went to my service, I was in ensemble of song and dance already as a drummer. And with accordion, and with my speech experience as an MC on the stage, it's a mixture. So I can't divide myself. I like to do everything. Sorry, it's child sound childish. It's not enough time to do everything, you know, in a good way. But I can't do. I can't change myself. I'm not trying to take someone's place, but somehow life all the time putting me in that position to do everything. I feel luck, of course, time to say yes, I'm good at it, and this, the same time, I've always learning everything. You know, this is what I said. My education still on the way.